This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The man has the patience of Job. We'll get with Dr. Dana Hawkinson here in just a moment. If you were on the show with us on Friday, we carried the news conference out of New Mexico where we learned, along with you, that Gene Hackman most likely survived a week after his wife, Betsy, had passed. And it is thought, it is believed, that she died from complications due to hantavirus, which is normally acquired, if not exclusively acquired, from rodents. It is not contagious person to person. So we have a million questions. Dana, immediately when they said hantavirus, looks at me and goes, that's from rats. Yes, it is. Let's bring in Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System and good friend of the program. Dr. Dana, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be here.
So I was saying this on Friday, Dr. Hawkinson. I had not even heard that term since my childhood because I remember my mom, you know, is deathly afraid of mice and rats and all of those things. And she would mention that was one of the diseases you could get. How rare is that? And, you know, the 30 to 50% survival rate was just stunning to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Parks was exactly correct. It is very difficult to get. It is very rare. And it does not spread human to human. It is spread by the deer mouse. Mostly people acquire it when they are cleaning up mouse poop, if they've had an infestation and they're brushing or sweeping things, and then some of that dust and some of the particles get aerosolized into the air and you breathe them in. But overall, it is extremely difficult to get. It is very rare. It does occur most often in that southwest area. We know in 2024 there was a case in Washington State, and in 2021 there was a case of hantavirus infection. That person survived, but that was up in Michigan as well. So it is around.
Why is it so fatal?
You know, I think it is a combination of factors. Number one, there isn't a treatment. Number two, probably by the time the disease takes hold, the lungs, the pathology, the disease in the lungs, the inability to have the lungs working correctly, and the damage that is occurring most likely from the inflammation and the body's response, it is just too great to overcome. I think those are probably the main reasons why it is fatal.
Because we saw the symptoms can mimic the flu. And so you probably wouldn't think of all things that that's what's going on with you if it happens.
Yeah, no, and we continue to want to emphasize this is an extremely rare disease. You are certainly more likely right now out in the community. You're more likely to be exposed to influenza or COVID, maybe even measles now, who knows, much more than you are going to be exposed to hantavirus.
Can you tell us, is it a small number of droppings, or do you have to be like cleaning out a shed that is full of it and not wearing a mask kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, from what I understand, most people are cleaning out old sheds or rooms that have been infested. They are doing a lot of sweeping. It is very dry. The dust is getting kicked up into the air. And again, no PPE. I would say that if you think you have mouse droppings in your house and you're worried about infestation, number one, you can try to kill them yourself or seek professional help. That is always the best. But if you are cleaning up, it is probably best to use some precautions, just as like you said, a mask. You can buy those at the hardware store, gloves, eye protection, and most importantly, also wash your hands after doing that.
You mentioned measles just a moment ago. Let me read to you, if I could, Doctor, a story here from BBC. A measles outbreak in the American Southwest has killed a second person, an unvaccinated adult, according to health officials in New Mexico. The fatality comes roughly a week after measles took the life of an unvaccinated child in nearby Texas, the first U.S. death from the disease measles since 2015. Measles, which was considered eliminated in the United States in 2000, is spreading quickly in Texas, 198 cases as of Friday. In the same span, the cases in New Mexico have tripled to 30. This is the most contagious disease known to man, and yet people go unvaccinated from it.
No, it is a significant tragedy when you have somebody who's falling sick with this in this country, just as you said, when it was declared eliminated in 2000. It is such a tragedy that a young person, a child who can't make decisions on their own, is afflicted with this, you know, either complications or even death, and even this other older person who is dying of this disease from a wheel that was invented six decades ago with a very safe, very effective vaccine to stop really essentially all of the complications and deaths from this disease.
Why is it so contagious?
You know, because the biggest reason is that it is truly airborne in its transmission. So it can be droplet, meaning if somebody is coughing and sneezing, it can end up in the droplets. Those can drop to the floor, the high touch surfaces, but more importantly, it is airborne in the air. So when somebody has it and they are expressing the virus out into the environment, that can linger in the air for up to 2 hours. So if somebody's sick at church or going through the grocery store or an airplane terminal and they have it, it can linger in that space for up to 2 hours and people can be walking by inhaling it in.
So nice weather is finally here. We were at a lake over the weekend, Dr. Hawkinson. Like, anything we need to know as we move into like lake season? We saw a couple of very unfortunate high profile deaths with respect to bacteria and disease in our lake waters last summer. I think it's just a good reminder.
Yeah, I mean, the first foremost is always understand the situation that you're going into. If you do get injured, particularly cuts and scrapes in fresh water or out in the environment, make sure you wash and clean that with soap and water. That is really the best thing. And then keep it dry and covered. Wash your hands frequently, especially if you're out in the environment and you're eating or putting your hands in your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Those are vitally important. We know that people are going to be out walking their dogs and animals. If you do get an animal bite, it is really good to seek medical care. Again, first and foremost, wash it with soap and water, clean it, dry it, try to go to see a medical professional. Dog bites and cat bites, especially cat bites, have extremely high rate of infection that can lead to significant impairment and disease, especially of the hands where those are the most common bites.
Hey, Doctor, back to the measles for just a quick moment. I just thought of something. Why is it, and you're the expert in this, we're not, so I ask completely out of ignorance, as I often do. Why is it that with the flu or with COVID, you have to get a vaccination every year, and obviously a vaccination does not guarantee you're not going to get it. It just heightens your ability to protect yourself from it. But we have to get a flu vaccine or a COVID vaccine, you know, every year, give or take. But one MMR vaccine when you're a kid, two actually.
Yeah, we're good.
You're protected at a heightened rate for life.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you are very knowledgeable about all the things that we've talked about. But I think that's a good example of just life and the differences between every single thing. You know, these viruses are completely different. They are completely different from smallpox, which was eradicated from this planet. It has to deal with what kind of virus is it? What kind of vaccine can we create? What is our body's response to that? There are a multitude of factors as to why two vaccine doses, 20 to 30, 40 years ago is enough for protection. Whereas for influenza, because that virus changes every year, changes very easily. COVID changes very easily. So that's why we need to get a vaccine every year for that. So there are a multitude of factors as to why some vaccines are better against protecting against disease and the complications of those diseases than our other ones. We would ultimately like to have the same protection, excellent protection, for all of these vaccine-preventable diseases that we have. But we don't have that yet. The technology is continuing to improve. But right now, this is what we have, unfortunately.
Doctor, 30 seconds or less, if we could. Several questions coming in from the text line right now. Do you recommend that people who are a bit older get a measles booster?
Yeah. Right now, the CDC recommendation is that if you were born before 1957, you are good to go. You are immune. And if you were born after that, please check and find your vaccine history. If you can, talk with your medical provider, consult with your medical provider. If you have at least one dose, that's good. We do recommend a second dose for a total of two. But right now, with all things being equal, if you have been vaccinated with two doses for the most part, you are not in need of another dose.
Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System. Always appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Be well, my friend. Quick break. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.